Now, a petition was delivered to Parliament yesterday by Pauline Latta, who lives in Mosgiel, just out of Dunedin, and who is worried about ambulance wait times in rural communities. Latta's son has severe food allergies that cause anaphylaxis, where his throat closes over, and was quoted by News Hub saying, Paula was quoted as saying, it's the scariest thing in the world to have to wait for an ambulance for your child, and you know it's a life and death situation. But now, the petition garnered more than 50,000 signatures. The government funds about 72% of the emergency ambulance service. The rest they have to fundraise, and with us is Pauline Latta. Pauline, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
And I'm sure that many listening today would feel your fear, Paula, you know, having a child in an emergency situation with the ambulance wait time just far too long, and you've called, they're not coming for a wee while.
Yeah, I mean, look, the ambulance staff do an amazing job. Yeah. And, you know, when they turn up, they are, you know, doing everything as they should. They're quality, they're amazing. The issue that we have, of course, is you call that ambulance and you really don't know what else is being called in at that one time, and there's only so many resources and so many funds available. So that's my issue, is much more around if we fund this properly, we won't be having this conversation.
And this was a sentiment echoed by many that you talked to?
Absolutely. So there was nearly 52,000 actually signed before I went to Parliament yesterday. In fact, I haven't actually closed it off, and I see the numbers are still creeping up. And the stories are phenomenal. I mean, we've heard stories in the media of people lying on floors for sort of 3, 4, 5 hours at a time. There was a disabled man in Dunedin, you know, local area for me, and he had to wait 3 hours. You know, people just don't know when the ambulance might turn up, and they were busy prioritising because of other emergencies going on. So, you know, the staff are struggling because this is putting strain on them. The pay rates, you know, we could talk about them forever. What we'd love to see is that they're paid well and paid for the job they do, which is, as we know, a phenomenal job.
And I guess too, Paul, like we had in our family, when you have an experience with the St John's Ambulance Service and they come promptly and they do such great service at the door or in the bed or whatever, it really is... it's a mind shift, isn't it? You do see what good work they do.
Absolutely. And, you know, we can't question that. I think, as we've talked about, the quality of what they're doing is amazing. They provide a critical service for New Zealand. And it is now time for the government to look at this and say, look, is this the push we need? The funding model isn't working, and we are going back. We're going to go backwards next year. We're looking at staff cuts according to some of these statistics and the work that they've already done around restructures. And, you know, that's a concern for everyone in New Zealand.
Okay. Amy, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I've had that experience of calling an ambulance and having to wait, you know, up to 2 hours, two hours for them to come while someone's in agonising pain, and it's awful. And you feel so helpless. And actually just recently a friend of mine fell over out walking, smashed a leg in three places and was told the ambulance wouldn't come because it wasn't life-threatening and they had, you know, priorities. And like you were just saying, the ambulance staff do an amazing job. I've got nothing but praise for them. But New Zealand is very proud of its free healthcare system, and you know, if you need help, you get it. And I think that should extend to the ambulance system. And whether it's an accident or not, shouldn't determine the level of care you get. So I want to see our ambulance system being as responsive and first rate all around the country as we would expect the rest of our health system to be.
One of
Paula?
The stories I read recently was about a young man who had a baby that had an issue that he had to call the ambulance for, and when he was told, he asked how much it was going to cost, and they told him $60 or whatever it was, and he actually made the decision not to bring the ambulance to his house because he said he couldn't afford it. That is concerning. You know, that's frightening that he chose that wasn't money he could spend. Obviously, it wasn't life and death, but, potentially for the child, but that's still a concern.
Sam?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, isn't it? We're a small population spread across a huge landmass, and I was thinking of reading an article in the paper this morning about the West Coast health system as well. I mean, and troubles there, and people who are living a long way away. It is a worry. So I think they do have to look at making sure that there's funds there to support St John's and Wellington Free Ambulance. Both do a great job. And
the question being, I guess, Sam, to what to what level of support?
I don't think it should become a government department, but because I don't know if that would necessarily work. But Amy would know more about that than me, or work better than it is now. But we value it, so we probably need to make a donation to St John each year and actually just become a bit more philanthropic, those of us who can afford it, make a donation to help and expect the government to ensure that they provide a great service level as well. Mm. I think it's not either or, it's both.
Paula?
You certainly wouldn't want to make it a government department. Nothing is ever improved by making it a government department. But look, our health system, as far as I'm concerned, should start from the minute you dial 111. And at the moment, it's a bit hit and miss. When they're there, they're great. But they're just, as Paula's pointed out, there are times when the wait times are simply too long to be safe.
All right. Final response, Pauline?
Yeah, look, I think that there's certainly something in the funding model that we need to talk more about and get into some more detail. But at this stage, I mean, I just think the inappropriateness of having people stand on the street begging for money, asking for donations, it's a competitive market, as we know, across all charities. The other thing is to think about the government, if they poured more funding into this, means that other charities have a chance when they go asking for donations as well. And there's some amazing charities out there. I just don't think St John's should be one of them.
Okay, Pauline Letter, thank you very much for being with us on the panel here.